The following message is presented by Fellowship Bible Church from its weekly pulpit ministry. We offer an expositional study through entire books of the Bible, one verse, paragraph, or chapter at a time. We pray that you'll be blessed by listening in. Thanks for visiting.
We are the Prado family, and we are in Carmelo, Uruguay. Since we arrived in 2016 as church planters with my family, one of the things that we notice in the city is very emblematic. You can see a bridge behind me. You can see a lot of cars are going by. And basically the bridge communicates one part of the city to the other part of the city. 19,000 people live in Carmelo. Since 2016, we began to think about how this bridge can be a picture of the scriptures. A lot of people going by, and the only way to get to the other part is through the bridge. We came with that message. We trust in the power of the gospel that people can get to heaven through Jesus Christ. And this short story, we want to share with you how the gospel really changes lives.
Very well known for its vineyards. We are standing in a vineyard right now, and as I look at it, I look at the beauty, but I also am very mindful of the process that goes into a vineyard. And it reminds me a lot of church planting. It reminds me of the many people and the time and the hours it took to plant every single vine. Also reminds me, after the planting, they have to take care of the vineyard. They have to do pruning. And the pruning is not always enjoyable, it's not always fun, but it's necessary. It's necessary for each one of the plants. And then there's the fruit, the harvest time. And again, maybe the people that did the planting are not the ones that get to enjoy the fruit or the harvest time. But that's an exciting time when the fruit comes forth. And also in the planting, knowing that as you're planting each one, knowing that maybe not everyone will bring forth fruit, but you still keep working and you keep laboring to see what the Lord will do. So it's just neat to come and look at this beauty all around and to think of that process, the work and the time that goes into a vineyard.
And just to remind us about discipleship, because why we're here, why we are in Carmelo, why are you part of this ministry here planting churches with us in Uruguay? Because we want to fulfill the Great Commission. We want to make disciples. Why make disciples? Well, first of all, because we want to fulfill what God has commanded to each one of us to make disciples around the world. But also because we want to take people out of this dark world. How? With the gospel. I think we have the greatest opportunity these years to come to obey God's command. We have the gospel that changes lives, the gospel that, as Becky was saying, sometimes it's hard when you see the planting, but the fruit and the labor is rewarding.
We're going to visit another guy that I really think that the Lord has been working amazingly in his life. His name is Sebastian, and that's another fruit of grace in his life. And once again, as I shared today, the gospel really changes lives. Jesus been doing an amazing work. So we're going to see him in his shop. He just came back from work. The story of Sebastian is an amazing story of what missions is all about in discipleship, making disciples. We're just going to interview Seba and tell about how God really changes his life and how he got to our church and who brought it to our church. And we're just going to share a few highlights of the gospel changing Sebastian's heart.
Yo siento que no había esperanza, que todo lo que yo hacía antes de conocer a Cristo siempre en algún momento de la vida se iba trancando y eso como que me fue frustrando en todo momento. Y bueno, y eso me llevó también, aparte de otras cosas, a terminar la droga, a probar de todos los caminos. Hice montones de cosas que nunca fue algo próspero. Y un día empecé a leer la Biblia y empecé a entender cosas que, por gracia de Dios, me dejó comprender que hasta que por medio nuestro no vamos a llegar a nada, que tenemos que conocer de Dios, conocer de Jesucristo y bueno, y caminar con Él.
The gospel really changes lives. We are right now in a building that is abandoned, is dark, is filthy, is broken. And this building represents the lives of the people that we are working here in Carmelo. You are going to see in a little bit a testimony of folks who were, before knowing Christ, like this building. Jesus transformed lives. He can do it here, and as well he can do it there in the States.
Bueno, mi vida era un desastre. Yo estaba metido en las drogas, consumía droga, vendía también, vendía para tener dinero, ¿no? No me gustaba trabajar, no quería hacer nada, siempre iba en contra de las cosas de Dios. Y bueno, hasta que un día el Señor me tocó en la cárcel, me llamó a... Conocí el Evangelio, lo que es el Evangelio, a través de, me acuerdo, del Nuevo Testamento de San Lucas. Empecé a leerlo y creí en Cristo, creí en el Hijo de Dios y que lo necesitaba a un Salvador para mi vida. Y estaba perdido, me arrepentí y bueno, y a partir de ahí fue el cambio.
Bueno, mi vida antes de conocer a Cristo no tenía rumbo, no tenía sentido. Por más que hiciera las cosas que hiciera, no encontraba sentido a nada, sino buscaba un Salvador que realmente me hizo ver que era una pecadora y que necesitaba arrepentirme de mis pecados.
There is much more to do here in Carmelo. There is more gospel sowing, there is more gospel growing, and as a church we see the need for spending our facilities. Right now we are renting a storefront, but the Lord is laying in our hearts to buy, Lord willing, this property that we're standing right now. This facility, this property, has about 600 square meters, and there is a lot of things to do here. We must refurbish, we must rebuild, we must build, and we're saving towards that. And we would ask your prayers as a partners in the ministry. Would you help us to pray that God will provide the necessary funds to buy this beautiful building? We're trusting in God who will provide the means for it. We want to invite you to be part of this by giving, by praying, but also invite you to come down to Uruguay, to Carmelo.
So as you can see, there's a lot of work to be done.
We want to encourage you to be part of this church plant in Carmelo.
All right, we'll have a moment of technical work here to get Mariano connected. I did want to mention that couple that he interviewed there. I was privileged to meet them when I went in 2017, I think it was, in the church there, and it was a great blessing to see them. But continue to pray for that couple and for the others that the Protos are ministering to. Hello.
Hello, Mariana.
Hello,
can you hear me?
Emily, how are you?
Hello. Hello. I'm sorry that you cannot see us, but we can now see you. You're on the big screen, larger than life now. Yes, welcome, Mariana. We just showed your video. Hi, Becky. Enzo,
hello.
Enzo, we can hardly see. Oh, there you are. How are you doing, Enzo?
Good.
Good. We have prayed for you.
Let's see if they can. Can you see us, the three of us now?
Yes, I can see all three of you. We all can. And so, Mariana, we just showed your video, and I explained a little bit about how I was able to see some of the things that you showed there with my own eyes when I visited with you folks, and that was a great blessing. And so what I'd like you to do is just take it away here and share with us what you have on your heart. I'm ready with the floor plan, if you want to show that, or that large PDF file with the 43 pictures and slides in it. So you just tell me what you want to show on the screen, and I'll do that while you talk through it, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Well, first of all, we want to say good morning to everyone. And certainly it's a blessing for our family to be able to do this Skype call technology. Praise the Lord today for this advancement. You know, that we are here in Massachusetts, but at the same time, you know, we can be communicating with you folks in Michigan. And we're so grateful to the Lord for what the Lord is doing in Carmelo. Some of you know, as you watch in the video, we arrived in 2016. With the desire to start a new church plant in the city where was not gospel preaching. And we praise the Lord for the things that are going on right now, which has been in public services since March 2017. So the church is very, very young. It's still a baby, which has started with small things, and which is grateful to the Lord for what he's doing. What I wanted to do is maybe before Becky and Enzo have to go to the Sunday school in our church, if you wanted to ask any questions to them about the field of anything, feel free to do it. We'll have a few minutes, and then I can talk more about what we're doing in Carmelo. And then I wanted to share something about the building project. Sounds good?
Sounds very good. Does anyone here have questions for Becky or Enzo or Mariano? Well, Enzo, I'll ask you a question. How is your health? Are you feeling okay these days?
Yes.
Do you have to take a lot of medicine?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll pray for that to continue to work well. Okay, I'm going to put Christy Collins on so she can ask you a question.
Hello. I have two school-age kids, and it's interesting to them the difference in the seasons in the Southern Hemisphere, and it's also interesting when you have school during the year and when you don't, because I think it's different than the school year here in America.
Yes. Hi, Christy. Yes, the school year for them goes from March until December. So right now, Enzo completed fifth grade, and he's on summer vacation right now, even though we're here in the States and it's not feeling like summer. But he's on summer vacation December, January, February, and then he'll be going back to school in March.
Thank you.
Sure.
Is there anyone else? Question for these folks? No other questions? Yes, Ben, 1 second. Here you go.
You're probably going to already talk about this, but I'm just curious, like, what's the spiritual, what kind of spiritual backgrounds do you see there in Carmelo? Is it like majority Catholic or what?
Yes, that's a good question. I'm going to be addressing in this in just a little bit. But one of the things that we discover in the city is people are very open to listen. The majority, I would say, you know, 50% or 60% of the city is, they call Catholics. We have a very strong influence on the Catholic Church in the city. Not everybody goes to the church, but, when we were looking for a place to meet every Sunday, we discovered that, some of the places that we want to rent for the church, they were owned by Catholic people, and they told me specifically that they would not rent it to me because I was a Protestant pastor. So, and as a matter of fact, you know, we were trying to develop a different friendship with people that were involved in the Catholic Church. And these folks told me that they could not be friend of mine because the priest told them directly to not hang around us, you know.
Mm. Wow.
So, in that side, you know, we see a lot of influence on the Catholics. And then, you know, also, you know, Uruguay in general is considered very atheist. So we have that flavor too, you know, a lot of secular minded people. So, that's what the kind of flavor that we're finding in our city. But the opportunities are there, no question, you know, completely different to what I was in the prior ministry in Fray Bentos. You know, these people in Carmelo are more open to hear the word of God being preached, yeah.
So Mariano and Fray Bentos, where Sergio was, very closed, you're saying?
Yes.
They would not listen at all.
Oh, yeah, wow. No. I mean, in this city, you know, people, you know, they're just open to hear what you have to say. You know, they will be different than after, you know, if they wanted to come to church, you know. But at least when we do an event or something, you know, they just hanging around, you know, and they're around. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any prayer requests that you could share with us, especially Becky, if you've got to go, any prayer requests that we can remember?
If you could remember to pray, Enzo will be going to Boston Children's Hospital on January 15th, this next month. So if you'd pray about that, we're going to see specialists in the area of the disease that he has, ulcerative colitis. So if you'd pray about that, and then just as we travel around, that we'd be a blessing to the people we come across, as well as help during these winter months. As you all know, it's a struggle, and if you're going church to church, that we'd have good health and safety in these months, please.
Okay. All right. I'm going to ask somebody in our church family to write those down and make sure we have those for our prayer meetings next few weeks. So health, okay, safety, and also for the visit to Boston Children's.
Thank you so much. We appreciate prayers.
You are welcome. Anyone else? Questions here at FBC? Okay.
Okay.
I think that's it, Mariano and Becky, for questions. So next part two. Bye-bye. Lord bless you, folks.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, let me just gear up a little bit here just to put my headphones so that I could hear you better here. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, good. So as I was saying, you know, we're really excited for what the Lord has been doing in Carmelo. I mean, we were surprised how the Lord began to open doors for us in these 2 years. I mean, the first year in 2016, when we arrived in the city, our goal was just to get to know people. We did not know anybody in the city. We did not know anything about the culture, how people think about different things. And so it was basically the first year was to study our community. Just to go and get involved in different things and get to know people. And one of the major things that the Lord opened the door was through English classes. I just remember when you, Pastor Matt, you came and you saw what we were doing. The Lord opened a great door for Becky to go into a private school where they teach English in the morning and Spanish in the afternoons. So, and all of that happened because I met the principal of the school, and she was moving out of town, and so I offered my help to help her to move, and then she was asking me, "What are you doing here? You know, why are you so kind and try to help me when you don't even know me?" And so I explained what I was doing in the city, you know, and try to start a church. You know, I was a pastor, and so she said, "Oh, so you know English and your wife?" And I say, "Yeah, we know both English. My wife is American." And so she talked in the school, and then they called Becky and I if we would be interested in teaching English and to the school, you know. And so Becky took that opportunity to start meeting kids, you know, and parents. And then she was
basically coaching the teachers in English. And that led to another opportunity where one of the professors in the school said, I have a group of doctors who wants to meet on a daily basis for English classes. Would you be interested? They asked Becky. And so we took that opportunity. And basically, once a week, Becky and these doctors are meeting for English. So we have a surgeon, we have two anesthesiologists, we have an engineer, and they were great opportunities for conversations, you know. So we just continue praying that the Lord will open doors like that. I mean, none of those people have come to the church yet. I mean, one of the things that I noticed, these people feel like a very exclusive in town. I mean, they just go to their job, they do what they have to do, and they seclude themselves in their homes. They don't want to be in touch with people, basically. I ask them why, and they say, well, because every time we go to the store or something, all the patients are asking us questions besides the appointments. So it's a small town. You need to think in that way. You know, 19,000 people live in Carmelo, so everybody knows everybody. So these people do their jobs, and they go back to their homes. And so basically when I told them to come to our church, it's a step that they have to do it. So far they haven't. We have many gospel conversations with them. They're very friendly. They are listening to it, you know, but they haven't made a decision yet to come to our services. That is one side. Now I think we can show the PowerPoint or the PDF where is the where we're meeting now. I wanted to show you that, the place that we're meeting. We start services. So the first year in 2016, we were just trying to meet people. We enrolled Enzo in soccer. Enzo is playing soccer in a league. That was another opportunities for us to meet people. Some of the kids that Enzo was playing soccer, they came to our church. Some of the parents visited for special activities that we have. But one of the things that we found in 2016, we were inviting people to our house for Bible study, and people will not come. People were very friendly to socialize, you know, to have a friendship with you. But when we were telling them we're going to have a Bible study, they will not come. That commitment to come to our house was not there. So we said, well, we need to pray that God will allow us to rent a storefront where we can make a church public. And so during 2016, we saved money and we were able to find a storefront. And there is a picture there on the PowerPoint of the storefront that we rent. It's also a house next door with our co-worker Pablo and Marcela are living. We are using their living room and their kitchen to use it as a Sunday school class. So you tell me, Pastor Matt, if you are seeing there the picture I'm looking at, is that say storefront rental, Sunday school classes, English classes?
We are there, and I was just pointing out Pablo's house and the church on the other side.
Okay, so we met this fellow, the ones that owns this house and this storefront. He just live across the street. And while Pablo and Marcela were looking for a house to move in 2017, we were going to use the house as a church. We were going to use just the front part of the house as a living. But then the guy said, well, you want to do the church here? And I said, yes. And I said, well, I want to, if you want, I can rent you the next door. The lady is moving out of business, so you can use that as well. And so we were able to secure 1 year, 2017, that storefront. And so it was a blessing to be able to rent that space. We have a group from Maine that came and helped us out to prepare it as a church. And so basically we start public services in 2017 in March. We use a storefront for worship service, and then Pablo's house is used for Sunday school class with two classes for children. That's what we're doing now. Some of the pictures, you know, can tell over there, you can scroll them. when we set up the church, you know, we bought 30 chairs. This is the maximum capacity that we can hold in the store front, 30 chairs, and then we're putting two benches in the back. And then, I don't know if you can see in the picture, but we have only one window and then one entrance door. So basically, we don't have air circulation there. During the summer times, when it's 100 degrees, right now, actually, we have an AC unit, but there's no air circulation. So sometimes in the building inside of that can be into 120 degrees inside of that square front that you see there. So it's very hot. So in March 26, we dedicate the building. We invite people to come, you know, from our sister churches. And also, you know, we invite neighbors to come, and it was packed that day. So we praise the Lord for that. You can see some of the fellowships that take place. We use Pablo's living room as well. We use our kitchen to do the activities that the church need to do. So let me see here. Some of the pictures have to do with kids club, you know, and also, you know, the English classes. But I want to get into that picture where we go to the front building, say phase one. Yeah, let me know when you get it.
Okay, hang on. We're scrolling through all these pictures of the outreach, men's outreach, Sunday school class, Sunday school. There's Pablo, first conference on the family, preaching God's word. Opportunities to get involved in Carmelo, that slide.
Yeah, just go and one more. We say phase one when you see the front of the building.
There it is.
Okay. Just so you have an idea, this building is located right downtown where we live. I will say, you know what, it's like one block and a half away from where we are located now. This building has been abandoned for over 20 years. It used to be a paper mill factory there. It's been abandoned. And one of the things that I saw is the great opportunity that, as you saw in the video, represent the lives of the people in Carmelo, you know. And so one of the things that we want to do with this building is we want to refurbish, and we want to build different things in the building. Let me see one of the pictures. The idea that we have, and we just continue praying to the Lord, and as a church, we begin to pray about this possibility to purchase this building. As you can see on the pictures before, we're getting to the point that the building is, the storefront that we are renting right now is getting smaller, and it's limiting our opportunities for ministry. The ministry, praise the Lord, is growing, but in one sense, we cannot develop more programs in the church because we don't have the room for it. So next year in March, we would like to start newcomers Bible class, where we teach people about the gospel, where we teach people about what is the church. And then we have another class that will be about membership. The ones that have been coming to our church, been committed, they are saved, they are baptized. We want to start teaching all the biblical principles. So we need more space. So right now we're just having two classes. Sunday school adult is one class, and then children is one class. So we're praying that God will allow us to move to this place. Why? First of all, because we pray that this is the place for us to move. This is the place that will allow us to do different ministries as we want to develop. And number three, we want people to get involved in this project building, such as coming to help us out. You can see the first picture here. It's a lot of work. One of the works has to be done is reconstruct entirely the front of this building, and it will be a church. Then above in the second floor, that's where the parsonage will take place, will be reconstructed. Let me see, just go with the second slide. Say phase one, refurbish the church building. this is where the church building will be. As you can see, there's a lot of work. There's no bathrooms, there's no electrical, there's no plumbing in place. So all of this has to be done in order for us to be able to function as a church and accommodate the facilities to have a comfortable place and develop the other ministries. This is where the auditorium will be. And then, let me see the other picture. That's the phase one, refurbished church building auditorium. This is the back side of the building. Let's see, the entrance of the church will be phase one. So you can see also, you know, that it's a big property, 600 square meters, I believe it has, you know, and it has to be a lot of work. I just brought an architect before we left just to check the property, and he said, you know, he gave the okay that the foundation is very solid. It has to be a lot of work to be done there, you know, but they're saying it could be feasible to build a house and refurbish a house on the top and then do the church in the bottom. So let's see here what I have more to show you here. Okay. As you can see, one of the slices over there, it tells you the cost of it. You know, to purchase the property, just the property alone, it costs $100,000. $100,000 costs the entire property. This property has been abandoned for 20 years, like I say. When it went into the market a couple of years ago, it went in with the price of $180,000. And then the owner brought it back to 150, then brought it back to 120, and right now it's in 100. So we're praying, you know, that the Lord will supply that. My goal is to just to make an offer to him if we are able to raise $80,000. So it might sound a big number, but praise the Lord, he provided $52,000 so far. God has been so good. Our church, a little church, I present this project and the people see the need to it. And so our church this past year raised $2,000 towards this project. We're 30 people. Our people, you know, are very generous, with the Lord. But also for us, it means a lot. Why? In our town, in our culture in Uruguay, we have this philosophy called, the prosperity gospel. Many people left churches, evangelical churches in our town specifically, because they were going to churches and the pastors there, they were taking the money of these people crazily. I mean, they were just robbing these people. Many people left the church hurt. So when we opened the church, a lot of people were saying, another church is going to rob our money. And so I have to meet with individuals many times to explain that that was not the case, you know. And so I have to do a series of teaching on giving, what is giving in the Bible. And so these people begin to give back to the Lord. And just it's amazing how the Lord has been doing a great work in these people's heart and growing in this maturity and in this aspect. So having said this, you know, we have saved 52,000. Some other people from the States give money towards this project generously. And we're seeing that the Lord is leading the way to purchase this property. So our goal is by the end of this year, be able to make an offer to these folks, to this owner. And if we can get into the range of $80,000 and make an offer and trust in the Lord that he will accept it. If not, the Lord will provide the necessary means to purchase this facility and then to begin the construction. As some of the slides listed, I think it we probably need $20,000 to get ready the church. That's my main goal, to get ready the church building. And the church building, you see there's a picture there in phase 1A. It's a refurbished church building costs approximately $20,000. Those are approximately cost. of the building project. You know, I have to really, when I get back and sit down and see the architect and see, you know, how much it will be for the materials and all of that. But you can see in that picture, towards your right, there is a green spot in the wall. That is humidity. That has to probably take down that wall, you know, rebuild it back on. We have to do a lot of electrical work. We have to build bathrooms for the church. We have to build Sunday school classes in order for us to continue moving forward in the ministry. So that will be the main thing, you know, because right now we are renting. 2019, we have secured the entire year in the storefront, but then also we're saving towards the building. So my goal will be to try to be out of by the end of 2019, out of the storefront so that we can put all the money towards the building project. So that's the main thing that we want to do, refurbish the church building. The parsonage can wait for now, so we want to purchase the property and start working on the church building. So we will be looking for people with skills in electrical. We're looking for people with knowledge in plumbing. We're looking for folks with knowledge in masonry. Any kind of skills that you folks have, please see Pastor Matt for that. I would like to put a team together and have several folks in churches, you know, that are more than willing to come down as a group and lend us a hand on this big project. It's a big project. Some of the pictures over there shows you that there's a lot of work on cleaning first. Before we can do anything in the building, we have to clean the building off. We have to take down walls, clean out all the rubbishes, and leave the property clean so that we can build up. So that's a lot of work. So if you can pray about it, if the Lord leads you to take a trip down to Uruguay for a week or so, we will be more than happy to have you there and accommodate you. We will do the best that we can. We have groups in the past. The most that we accommodate, it was 8 to 10 people. We praise the Lord. We have co-workers. we have people in the church who will be more than glad to have you come and just to give us 8 dates or so, so that we can work. So, do you have any questions about the building, anything before I touch other thing?
Mariano, one question. Could you just describe briefly the thing you were speaking to me about on Friday about Pablo and his house, and maybe you're going to lose that space?
Yes. Well, I was sharing with Pastor Matt that we are having a possible conflict in March when I'm coming back from furlough. Pablo and Marcela, they are partial supported by some churches in Argentina. Right now, Pablo is a graphic designer. He is my right hand. He's working with me in the ministry. He came to Carmelo to work as a church planter with me. And so he approached him a little while ago and saying, you know, that he might not be able to keep renting that house because of finances. So if that is the case, that he will have to move out of the house and find something smaller for their family, that will complicate more the situation of our ministry, because right now, as I was saying, we are using their house for 40% of our ministry is running in their house. We have 2 Sunday school classes. We have a prayer meeting divided, and we take men's there. And then sometimes we use for other ministries, such as couples meetings or men's meeting or ladies meeting. So if they move out of that house, we only will have the storefront. So that means that we will have to readjust entirely our philosophy of ministry. We will not be able to have a Sunday school for children on Sunday. We might have to have it on Saturday, which is not a problem. We will accommodate. But I will probably drag a little bit our ministry in the ways that we want to go and develop more activities for people to come to our church. So if you can pray for that, you know, it's a lot of wisdom that we need there. Especially we already secure another year that we can afford the storefront. And we're just trusting in the Lord, you know, that he would give us wisdom in that area, you know, for us, for Pablo to move out of the house or to stay another year, you know, until we get this building, Lord willing, and we can move forward.
Okay, and then just briefly tell us, because Monica and Pablo were supported by some churches in Argentina, what has happened in Argentina with the economy?
Okay, yeah, Pablo and Monica, they came specifically to help us out to plant in this church in Carmelo. Both of them, when they came, they raised their support in Argentina, and the economy in Argentina right now is not going well. Apparently, for what I talked to them in the last few weeks, and the dollar value decreased greatly, they lost a quite amount of their support. So I was talking to Pablo, and right now I think he's 50 or 60% of their support, recommendable support. There are five total in the family. And Monica, she's a single lady, and also she lost quite a bit of support. When she came to Uruguay, she came with $600 to live monthly. That's what we calculated to be okay for her, between $600 and $800. And right now, I think she's living with $400 a month. Mm. These people are very faithful, you know, which is grateful. We try to help in as a family too. But we're just concerned how the economy is going. In those countries where they're trying to raise support. And so we covet your prayers as well. We also thank you folks for your generosity towards our family because we are able to help others as well. You know, so keep praying for that, that they will be able to raise more support or find Pablo and Monica. Both of them have secular jobs. Monica is cleaning houses. Becky was able, with one of the teachers in the school, find a job for Monica. She's a very faithful lady in our ministry, and so pray for that, please.
Okay, will do. Do you want a few more minutes, Mariano, or are you all done?
No, I just, what time you have to finish?
Well, probably about another 7 minutes is a hard deadline for us, so.
Okay, I just want to read a verse.
Okay, go ahead.
I have here, let me see here. One of the encouragement folks to me and to my family, it was Acts 16, verse 11, basically verse 12 through verse 15. You probably know this passage very well when Lydia heard the gospel. And it was a blessing to me because I can see how Paul, the Apostle Paul, maximized the opportunities for gospel conversations. And I just want to encourage you how can we more effectively reach out our community? You know, we're just going to read the text. In verse number 12, it says, "And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days." That phrase is very interesting to me. "And we were staying in that city for certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city, to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there." We don't have time to develop all what is going on right there, you know. But one thing that I can see here that Paul did, if you study Paul's church planters, planting churches there, you know that Paul started in different places in different ways. Not every place was the same for Paul to start churches. And it's interesting that in verse 12, he said, "And we were there certain days in the city." First that I see that Paul did is Paul took time to study the city. And I think it's something, you know, that we can apply very well in our days today. Sometimes we don't realize or we don't really understand how our culture and our city lives because we're part of that. We live every day in the city we're living. We're part of a community. And sometimes we don't realize what's going on. But I think it was very important for Paul to, he was certain days to watching how these people were doing things. And it's interesting because he doesn't study like in a synagogue. Number one, because it was not a synagogue. Number two, because to start a synagogue, you need 10 people. And there were not guys around probably there, because the text is saying that there were ladies. And so he said, on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city to the riverside. Interesting where Paul went. And just remind me about Uruguay. You know, we have a riverside too, and where people gather. And Paul went, and he said, and he sat down and spoke to the woman. Interesting that also Paul didn't preach right away. He said he sat down and spoke to the woman. It was probably customary in that time, you know, to sit down around people. And that brings me to the other point that I want to just point out quickly. Paul took time to be with people. That's very important as we think in how to reach out our communities. We need to study our community. We need to know exactly what's going on so that we can address with biblical principles where people are nowadays. But then secondly, we need to take time to be with people. That's very, very important. And if you ask me, how did you start the church in Carmelo? It was like that. Taking time to be with people. Nowadays, we live in a day that we are busy. Which is coming back from the U.S., you know, with a different perspective from outside. And we see that people are busy, you know. They get to go to their jobs. You know, they get to go different things, you know. But I think the best way to reach out nowadays, our community effectively, is to be around these folks. Outreach is relational. Discipleship is relationship. You know, both ways. If we want to reach out people, we need to be there. We need to be with people. That's critical to me, you know. And then Paul said, you know, in the text in verse 14, now a certain woman named Lydia hears us. We don't have time to develop this, but why Lydia? Why am not the other ladies? They say, Lydia, hear us. And she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. I love that phrase. The Lord opened the heart of Lydia. The third point, you know, will be take time to wait on the Lord for people's conversions. You know, that was another thing in our hearts. You know, we were there in Carmelo, and it's just like, Lord, we want to see fruit coming, and we want to just see people safe. But it takes time, and we have to be patient. And I want to encourage you to be patient. You know, conversions are not in the microwave. You know that. So you just keep planting the seed, keep planting conversations in people's heart, keep planting the Lord's message in people's heart, and wait on the Lord. So my encouragement to you today, it will be take time to study your city. Take time to study the people that you're rubbing shoulders. In a couple of weeks, our church in Carmelo is going to start this study on circles. It's called circles. How can we impact our circles where we move? Inner circles, family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, and how can we share the gospel with them? We have a great opportunity, folks, nowadays, that we can spend time with our people and just wait on the Lord what he will do. So that is my encouragement to you this morning in the Sunday school. We're really grateful for all that you do for us, your support, your prayers. And so we're just excited to see what the Lord will do in this couple of years, you know, and this even 2019, getting closer to it, to see how the Lord will continue moving forward in Carmelo. Thank you, Pastor Matt, for the time. Appreciate it.
You are very most welcome. And I think I'm going to put on Twitter that your statement that conversions don't come out of the microwave. That's a good one. All right, let me have prayer, and then we'll close our Sunday school hour and get ready for our worship service. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Mariano, for Becky, for Enzo. We pray for the request that Becky mentioned for health and safety for them as they travel about many miles in Pennsylvania and elsewhere as they visit with their churches in those regions. We pray for Enzo particularly that you will help as he sees a specialist about his disease and that they will be able to figure out some things that will be helpful to him. We also pray, Lord, for the requests that our brother has made for workers, for finances, and just for prayers that you will energize your people here and elsewhere to take up the cause of this mission work in their own hearts and with their own resources in their own time and to desire to see more conversions and a growth in that church there. We thank you for our brother's dedication, for his service. Keep him strong for you, keep his feet to the fire, as we say. Help him to be always looking up for his sustenance and his support, as he also explains outward to his church partners like ourselves what is going on. We thank you so much for this update. May we take it with us in our hearts and not forget it at all. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mariano, God's blessings upon you, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, and thank you so much. And Lord bless you and have a great service.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Yeah, bye.